Welcome to Moxie Bets, presented by Caesars Sportsbook. I'm your host, Katie Mox. Coming up on today's show, our resident sports lawyer, Dan Lest, joins us to talk about some of the pressing legal matters going on in the sports world. We'll then preview Monday Night Football between the Ravens and the Saints. And the World Series might be over, but that doesn't mean that it's too early to preview next year's odds. And you know it, you've got some Mox Locks coming your way. But first, let's welcome in our guest, Dan Lest. Dan, how you doing? Thanks for coming on.
I am good. Thank you for having me on. And I'm told that there was some big sports law events in the past week, so certainly happy to break it down with you.
Yes, and why don't we just get right into it? First, let's talk about Dan Snyder and the Commanders. Amid news of Dan Snyder's possible sale of the Commanders, the U.S. Attorney's Office is investigating the Commanders over alleged financial improprieties. What exactly is going on with this situation, and what can we expect here?
So the news of the investigation for financial improprieties isn't necessarily new, because Congress kind of unearthed this maybe, I don't know, two, three months ago. The news today that is very big is that the United States Attorney General's Office in the Eastern District of Virginia has now opened up a criminal investigation into the team. So we knew there were maybe whispers, but the fact that a federal entity is willing to pick that up is very significant. And then on top of that, we still have pending state investigations in the DMV area, District of Columbia, obviously, in Virginia. I would say, in some sense, the walls are kind of closing in on the Commanders, and we'll see if that forces Dan Snyder out.
Well, I hope so, because I feel like, there's nothing more that this fan base and just NFL fans in general want than Dan Snyder out. And he continually says he'll never do things. And then, the legal stuff gets in the way, and now all of a sudden he's selling the team. Do you think that they will actually sell the team?
Yeah, not a coincidence this past week, and we're not sure what came first. Obviously, the news of this federal investigation came out the same day that Dan Snyder said he was hiring Bank of America to consider options for sale. So, Katie, I think, could he sell 100% of the team? Sure, but he's also considering selling a minority percentage of the team. So, within the last year, Snyder actually bought back 40% from his minority owner, so now he's the 100% owner. But, if you're fighting all these legal battles back and forth, and it's been well reported that he's paying $500,000 a month to attorneys, maybe you need some cash. So selling off the minority share is certainly possible. But do I think a sale is likely? I think we're hearing it now from other NFL owners. Jim Irsay, owner of the Colts, spoke out, I think, on behalf of other NFL owners and said that they have the votes to kick him out. So if Snyder doesn't want to voluntarily sell, the NFL has that at their disposal. If they get 24 of 32 NFL owners to vote him out of the league, all of a sudden, Snyder can't say, hey, I'm only selling 80% of the team. I'm only selling 50%. The NFL will divest him of 100% of his shares.
Hard to get the good old boys club to turn on one of their own, although if there's anyone that's a candidate, it's definitely Dan Snyder. All right, let's move on to the NBA. They've been getting a lot of negative attention these days. So let's start with Josh Primo and the Spurs. A former clinical psychologist for San Antonio filed a lawsuit last week alleging that the organization ignored her repeated reports of indecent exposure by Joshua Primo, the 2021 lottery pick, who was released by the team last week. What are the precedents for a situation like this? When I heard there was up to 9 times that he had exposed himself, it was shocking and disgusting, and not unbelievable in the sense that I don't believe her, but unbelievable in the sense that this happened.
Yeah, there's not really much precedent for it. If we're talking about players to be released from their team that were that high of a pick in the draft, and that should really protect you. It's the history of sports. Sometimes it does. But somebody asked me, is there a precedent? I'm like, well, Henry Ruggs, right, the Las Vegas wide receiver, was cut from his team with some really ugly, vehicular manslaughter charges. For a team to cut bait with a guy, I think Primo was the 12th overall pick in the draft, that's pretty alarming. So this lawsuit comes, it's, again, claims of indecent exposure that Josh Primo exposed himself to a sports psychologist 9 times and the team did nothing about it. The Spurs have now cut bait with Primo, but, why do you cut bait unless you think he did something wrong? So here is where it gets a little tricky. The lawsuit is against Primo and also against his employer, the San Antonio Spurs. So, the Spurs are now trying to deny the allegations. But then again, you cut bait with Primo.
Why would you release him? Yeah.
Right. If you didn't think there's anything wrong, stand by your guy, which they're not doing. So I think there is something to read into that.
Also, just the psychologist too, exposing yourself, just the sickness of all of it. And obviously we know Deshaun Watson and what he did with the massage therapist, but it's not even a situation. I mean, you should be fully clothed. You're fully clothed when you're sitting down with your psychiatrist. So there's no reason that would even be, something that could have accidentally happened. And of course, nine times is just, it's just unbelievable. It's gross. Well,
if you want to get into the weeds here, I mean, it's kind of funny. Like the Josh Primo issued a statement the day he was released. He said, it's a very short statement, but it said, in light of today's news, I'm sure you're surprised. I'm dealing with a previous mental trauma and I need time to kind of think about that. In his initial statement, there was no denial of what happened, right? If I'm the attorney, I'm writing a statement, I would deny it and then say whatever else. I need time to think about this. Please respect my privacy. No denial.
So respect my privacy when I was exposing myself to my therapist.
Right.
But you didn't respect anything about her.
But the truth is, right, like, you know, we'll call a spade a spade. Everyone, in theory, should be innocent until proven guilty. But if you don't deny the charges and you cite some previous trauma, I'm going to think, hey, you did this thing because of something bad that happened to you in your past.
Yeah.
So, Katie, the interesting part, maybe people want to get into the weeds here. 4 days later, we have this interesting press conference from the sports psychologist. And now here's the denial. Hey, this was maybe inadvertent exposure. The sports psychologist never told us anything. They never gave, you know, Josh a heads up to fix himself or whatever else. So, you know, why did it take 4 days to issue a denial? That to me as an attorney, red flags, red sirens. You know, I think that was a really big tactical error on Primo's team's part. And now they're going to have a really uphill battle fighting this in the court of public opinion.
Well, good for her. There's nothing inadvertent. You can't expose yourself inadvertently when you're fully clothed in a therapist's office. You have to deliberately do something like that. So it'll be really interesting to see how this goes out. But you know what? Good for her. And I hope she gets everything that she deserves, because nine times without doing anything is just disgusting. All right, let's move on to the Nets. They're seeing their fair share of the controversy. First, it was the news that they were on track to hire suspended Celtics coach Ime Udoka. The Celtics reportedly agreed to let him pursue other opportunities. What are the legalities of this situation? And have you heard anything like Ime is definitely going to go to the Nets now?
I'm sensing a tide in the Nets culture. So from a legal perspective, again, Katie asked me earlier about precedents. I have never heard of someone getting suspended by a league, be either a player, a coach, an executive, and then about to be hired mid-suspension or signed suspension. So that part's a little odd. So then you have to kind of ask yourself from an optics perspective. You know, Katie, we talked about the Ime Udoka stuff not so long ago. It's alleged to have been, you know, an inappropriate relationship with a female employee of the team. We really haven't gotten the details as to exactly what happened, but the Celtics felt it was important enough to suspend, you know, arguably the top upcoming coach in the NBA, Ime Udoka. So they suspend him for the year, and now the Nets are wanting to hire him, and I'm sure we're going to talk about Kyrie Irving, but gasoline on that fire is kind of odd. And then you kind of have to ask yourself, did the Celtics overreact, or do the Nets have a higher tolerance than most for maybe controversies, which, you know, I think it's fair, but certainly unprecedented in our history.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. And it is just so, it's like, was it not that bad? I don't know what this says about the Nets organization, but the Nets organization is just in free fall right now. So let's go ahead and talk about Kyrie Irving, who is basically public enemy number one right now. After his anti-Semitic social media post, he has walked that back and apologized after he doubled down on it. What do you think about this situation? What happens going forward? And what are Kyrie's rights and the Nets' rights in this situation?
So I guess we can talk about it. It's kind of an ugly subject in some way, shape, or form. I'm seeing some stuff trend on Twitter, like #I stand with Kyrie. So there seems to be some split of opinion. I think we can help separate some legal fact from fiction, right? First Amendment entitles Kyrie to say what he wants, absent some type of criminal liability.
Dan, let me just stop you right there. How frustrating is it as a lawyer, the amount of people who don't understand what the First Amendment protects you from versus what it does not? It's unbelievable. I'm pretty sure everybody went to high school here. This is something that we learn. It does not, you cannot, you still get fired. You just can't be federally prosecuted. That's it. That's it.
No, 100%. And then that's the important thing. People can say that Kyrie has the right to say whatever he wants, and he does, right? He's not getting thrown in jail, but your private employer is the Nets. The NBA is a private entity. We can talk about Kanye West, right? Adidas is a company. It's a publicly traded company, but it's not a public forum. You're not standing, I'm right across the street from Times Square. You're not standing on the soapbox and saying these things, right?
You
go back in news history, people could talk about like the Westboro Baptist Church. They're allowed to, protest funerals. It's the First Amendment. You're not going to get sent to prison. But if those people are employed by, let's say, the Brooklyn Nets,
they can be fired.
Not employed anymore, right? So First Amendment gives you the right to say things. But in terms of your marketing, right, Nike has now suspended Kyrie Irving. you know, it sends a message, right? You can say what you want. You're not going to get thrown in jail, as you pointed out, Katie, but there are private and financial ramifications, which Kanye felt 2 weeks ago, and now Kyrie's feeling right now.
Yeah. So, they said a suspension of at least 5 games. Do you think Kyrie comes back? I mean, he has apologized, but how do they move forward from here for a legal standpoint?
Yeah, I mean, here's where it is, right? Every NBA contract should have some form of a morals clause that they have the right to suspend you. In the NFL, it's called conduct detrimental. In NBA, and in the standard player contract, it's a morals clause. So for Kyrie's purposes, right, if you polled all 30 NBA GMs today, I guess 29, not including the Nets, I'm not sure how many are signing up to take him, just like you and I spoke about Deshaun Watson once upon a time. Yes, talent wins out, but at a certain point, you can't be jeopardizing the image of that, you know, of the team. So Joe Tsai, at the end of the day, right, this is kind of an employment issue. Joe Tsai, the owner of the Nets, basically condemned Kyrie Irving. And then even after that, Kyrie continued to play, gave a press conference where, you know, I think, you know, candidly, I think he was asked some softballs. Do you have anti-Semitic beliefs? And the answer was not no. It was a lot of other
words.
It was,
I can't be anti-Semitic because I know what's in the Oxford. It was such a jerk, idiot move. It was stupid.
At the end of the day, like, we can talk about, again, sports precedents. And Katie, full disclosure, what we do is we just understand the past and we try to predict the past based on precedent. Right? Deshaun Jackson had anti-Semitic allegations about him not so long ago. Myers-Leonard in the NBA. There's a path to get back in the good graces. Apologize, you know, do what you need to do. The NBA is now, and I think the Nets as well, asking Kyrie to go through these, I think, 5 deliverables to kind of condemn the movie, to go meet with Jewish leaders. But we've always known that was the path. Kyrie just decided that he didn't want to follow that. So we don't have to be political and say which side we agree with, but we don't. But we do know that the NBA is a private association. They have the right to kick people out, to suspend people. And Kyrie just kind of spoke out in light of knowing what could get you back in the league. So, yeah, I think Kyrie's making about $36.5 million this year on a 1-year player option, about to be a free agent, and he's making about $11 million from his Nike deal. Both of those could go up and disappear very quickly. So, yes, First Amendment gives you some protections. It does not protect you all.
No, it'll be interesting to see. I'm glad that he apologized. We'll see what happens. But, like you said, he's on a 1-year deal right now. I doubt he gets picked up again from the Nets. He's just been causing problems for the Nets, I don't know, over the last 2 years by refusing to do a lot of things that they have requested of him. And I don't know how attractive he looks to other teams because he's just a liability in every way that you look at it.
You know what? I feel bad for Kevin Durant at the end of the day, right? Durant goes from playing with Steph Curry, maybe one of the greatest players of all time, to aligning himself with Kyrie and then James Harden. So what could have been for Durant's career, I mean, I think he was probably trending to be a top 10 guy of all time. And his time in Brooklyn has been, you know, really forgettable. Obviously, he was like 1 foot away on the three-point line from going to the NBA Finals. But, you know, it's just pretty sad to see Durant's career now tied to Kyrie's. And, you know, we'll see what happens in the next couple of years here.
Yeah, right. Dan, thank you so much for your time and for giving your free legal analysis here. Let the people know where they can find you.
Yes, I'm at Sports Law Lust on social media, and our podcast is called Conduct Detrimental, All Things Sports and Law.
Great. We'll see you next time, Dan.
Thank you, Katie.
All right, people. We're brought to you by Caesars Sportsbook, the greatest sports betting app of all time. See, it's not just about the daily promos, odd boosts, or the hundreds of ways to wager. It's about the immortal words of Caesar himself. You bet, you get with Caesars Rewards. Every bet you place on the app, no matter the outcome, earns towards exclusive perks at Caesars Rewards destinations everywhere. Hotel stays, concert tickets, bonuses, and more. Download the Caesars Sportsbook app, become a Caesars Rewards member today and get more with every wager. Must be 21 or older to gamble. Gambling problem? Call or text 1-800-522-4700. Lions, Tigers, and tailgates. Oh my, the college football season is always a great time of year. Besides the jerseys, the face paint, and the foam fingers, there's the food. And nothing gets you more fired up for game day than Eckrich Smoked Sausage. They're naturally hardwood smoked and have the perfect blend of spices. From buffalo sausage dip to sausage chili mac and cheese, Eckrich Smoked Sausage is a quick way to bring flavor to all your tailgate meals. Visit Eckrich.com for easy, one-of-a-kind sausage recipes. Eckrich, you do you. Football season is here, and nothing beats seeing your favorite team live. Not only does Vivid Seats have great NFL ticket prices, they're also the official ticketing partner of ESPN. And with Vivid Seats rewards, when you buy 10 tickets, you get the 11th free. Download the app or visit vividseats.com today. Vivid Seats, life happens live. Receive a reward credit equal to the average price of 10 tickets purchased, excluding taxes, fees, and processing costs. See vividseats.com/rewards for terms and conditions. Time now for Capper's Corner, where we welcome in our normal Dan on Mondays, Danny Brasco. How's it going? How's your weekend?
Fantastic. Great weekend in the NFL. Feeling hot, ready to carry it over to Monday Night Football. So let's keep it rolling.
Let's keep it rolling. Before we get into Monday Night Football, let's talk about the 2023 World Series odds. The Astros won the World Series on Saturday night. Unlucky for us here in New York, or just maybe not so happy about it. And of course, it's not too soon to preview next year. So the Dodgers and Stros lead the pack at plus 550 on Caesars, followed by the Braves and the Yankees, plus 850. The list goes on from there. Danny, it's really too early, I guess, to seriously consider these odds. However, anything caught your eye as of now?
Yeah, I mean, thinking about this team, how they built for the future, they made a run at the World Series this season, and it felt like 1 year early already, but you got to look at plus 1,400 for the San Diego Padres.
Oh, yeah.
Now, I mean, I got to feel like this is probably what you're on, too, with the odds and just the talent level that team now has with Soto, Machado, Tatis when he's healthy. When they're all together, they're just maybe a bullpen reliever or a great starter away from being over the top end World Series caliber. So plus 1,400, I'm interested in the Padres next year.
Yeah, same for me. Just like you said, I mean, even without Tatis, they still were able to upset the Mets and the Dodgers. I don't think anyone thought that they would upset the Dodgers and make it all the way to NLCS. So at plus 1,400, agree with you 100%. Have to go with the Padres. So let's now switch over to football and preview Monday night between the Ravens and the Saints. This is the first meeting since 2018. The Saints did win that one 24-23, but that was with Flacco and Breeze. So a little bit different lineup tonight. The Saints are 0-3 straight up and against the spread in home primetime games. That was last season. This is their first home primetime game of the season. The last primetime game that they had not at home this season, Andy Dalton basically ruined my life. But with a win here, the Ravens can stay atop, at least a game ahead of the Bengals atop of the AFC North standings. And the NFC South is still wide open. The Saints coming off a shutout against the Raiders. Ravens money line minus 120, spread 1.5, over under 46.5. This was 48.5 just a few days ago, but a lot of people hammering the under on this one. What any play that you have on the side or the total?
Yeah, I'm going to play both. I actually have a bunch of bets in this game. I got five that I'm going to give out on this show. So I like action in this game. I guess let's start with the total. I'm on it with the everyone else that you mentioned is hammering, and I'm going with the under 46.5. I wish I got those couple points, but I still think it's safe to play here. Just both teams kind of depleted rosters due to injury, and we know the Ravens are going to be without Rashad Bateman, also without Mark Andrews. So Lamar, already kind of thin receiving core, gets even thinner. Also without Gus Edwards, their key running back. So they're depleted on offense. Lamar's really going to have to make a lot happen on his own. And then for the Saints, they get Jarvis Landry, Chris Olave starting to come back, but Michael Thomas done for the year. And Andy Dalton has had his woes in primetime, 6-19 as a primetime quarterback, make it 2-6 in Monday Night Football. So like you said, yeah, he ruined my life as well in that Cardinals game on Thursday night. He lost us a ton of bets. I'm not happy with Andy Dalton. So I don't think that, if they can't get Kamara involved quick and right away, that, both teams will probably try to run and struggle for offense, really just try to get those first downs, get in a good position, and this will be an under game. So I like the under 46.5.
Yeah, I like the under. That's going to be one of my plays a little bit later as well. I'm taking Ravens money line minus 120. You just alluded to it. Andy Dalton, career in primetime. Let me just go through some of these stats. He's lost six straight games, each by 8+ points. The last one was 2018 versus the Ravens. Okay. He's 6-9 straight up, like you said, in career. The worst since the merger, with a minimum of 25 starts. He's also 9-16 against the spread in his career in primetime. That is the second worst since the merger. Harbaugh, he is 16-9-2 against against the spread, 64% with 10 or more days rest between games, covering by more than 4 points per game. Lamar Jackson also 18-9-1. That's 67% against the spread in career on the road against the NFC. He's 13-1 on the road. So I'm going to go ahead and lay the points here with the Ravens. I also like them in the first half. I'm a little bit gun shy on this one because I finally took the Eagles in the first half and it blew up in my face. But right now, Ravens first half, it's at even money plus 100. I alluded to Lamar Jackson, how he did, you know, against the NFC and in primetime. Well, he's 36-19-2 in the first half. It's the highest cover rate among quarterbacks in the first half. Harbaugh also good in the first half, 18-8-1, 69.2% against the spread. That's his record in the first half with double-digit preparation days. He's the most profitable first half coach of 126. This is according to Action Network in their labs database. So I'm going to, I'm taking the Ravens for sure because I don't trust Andy Dalton. And I think I might go half a unit, maybe even a full unit on the Ravens in the first half. Again, feeling slightly gun shy with what the Eagles did to me, but look at the trends are all pointing in that direction.
Yeah, I love all the stats and trends that you just hit us with. I read that article as well. I really enjoyed a lot of the information in there. And to even further your point about first half and John Harbaugh and the Ravens, even over 20 plus years, he's the most profitable first half coach at 58%. So, you know, even in a bigger sample size, he gets it done. So I know what you mean about first half bets, right? It can often be a tale of two halves. And when the team wins the game outright but loses the first half, you're like, why did I overthink that? But yeah. I think you have a good angle here. And yeah, I'm with you on the Ravens. I'm going to take the money line, minus 120. And I like the first half too. The sharp bets are probably going to be on the Saints considering all the injuries that that the Ravens have. And I don't blame that. But again, I'm going trends over sharp action in this one. The Ravens, John Harbaugh prep time. And Lamar Jackson is a Monday night beast. Look at his numbers on Monday night. Excellent QBR. He rushed in five games. He's almost rushed for 500 yards. He's got no interceptions. So, you know,
he's the opposite of Andy Dalton.
Exactly. Some guys shine in the bright lights, some guys, you know, wither. You know, we've seen Lamar have his struggles here and there in big moments this season, but they're still 5-3 and they control their destiny. So, you know, with a big win here, I think also their schedule's pretty easy if you look ahead after these Saints. Not too hard. Yeah. So, big win here can really catapult their season. I like the Ravens with you as well. And I might tail that first half bet. That looks pretty good too.
Let's go. Any prop bets you like?
Yeah. So let's go to one of the only receiving options I feel like he's got. And that's a rookie tight end, Isaiah Likely, coming out of Coastal Carolina. A lot of people like this kid. High target, high reception guy, got really good hands. And that's exactly why I like him. You know, he's gotten a bunch of action here and there, but really he's behind Mark Andrews. Well, Andrews is sitting out this game. He's injured. And when Likely does get targets, he catches them at a high rate. He got seven targets last game. It's six catches. You look at previous games, five targets, four catches. When Lamar looks for him, he finds him. So I like him over 40.5 receiving yards. I think that he continues to show he's one of the better rookies from this draft class.
I love that. I'm taking Isaiah Likely for an anytime touchdown as well, mostly for all the reasons that you just said. We do know that, Ravens like to go through a tight end without Mark Andrews. That's a good one. I also like Devin Duvernay over 43.5 receiving yards is at minus 137. Look, Andrews is out. We know that. He gets more targets than anybody else. In fact, more than double the amount of anybody else combined on the Ravens this season. But next up is Duvernay at 24 targets. He's got 313 yards and three receiving touchdowns. The Saints defense is notoriously stingy against the run, but they've allowed eight passing touchdowns this season. So they're a little bit bad there. They rank 17th in EPA allowed per dropback. This prop seems a little bit low considering there's no Andrews or Bateman. That is going to open up nearly 50% of the target share for the Ravens. And I feel like Duvernay is going to be heavily leaned on this one. So I'm going to take him over his receiving yards.
I like that too. He's got to be wide receiver number one with Bateman out. And they use him in a lot of really creative and tricky ways. So he's always a candidate for a big play. So with a total like that, I could definitely see that happening too. I like that bet.
Any other bets you're targeting for this one?
Yeah, so I'm going to look for an anytime touchdown score, and that's my guy, Lamar Jackson. I mean, primetime, bright lights, right? Not a rocket science to get to that conclusion, but on Caesar Sportsbook, you got plus 160. That's a fantastic line for him
probably because they're stingy, right, against the run, but that doesn't – I feel like even if someone is stingy against the run, that doesn't apply to Lamar Jackson.
Exactly, and I'm really just playing the Monday night angle. I'm taking his over rush yards as well, which is at 60.5 at minus 105, also really good line on Caesars, which I'm loving. You can, you know, Lamar's gone over this line, rushing yards line, in every single Monday night game he's played, all five of them. So why not take it again? And I feel like he's going to have to break out a big play at some point with so few people, you know, to target and so few names on the roster that you can really trust at this point. He's going to take off and do it on his own. And I like the Saints having a good front that brings pressure against these quarterbacks. Yeah. Where else do you go? You look outside the pocket outside. You take off up the middle when you feel the pressure. And there's nobody better than Lamar at that. So, yeah, give me Lamar to shine in primetime. Anytime TD plus 160 and over his rushing yards at 60 and a half. I got to side with Lamar, right? I feel safe doing 100%. That every time.
Starting your own business can be a total roller coaster. Between all the bumpy twists and turns comes the actual business side of your business, which can really throw you for a loop. Luckily, with QuickBooks, you can manage your business with confidence from the start. So no matter how bumpy the ride gets, you can always stay on track. New business, no problem. Success starts with Intuit QuickBooks. Learn more at QuickBooks.com.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
All right, time now for Mock's Locks. We've got a lot of synergy. We both give you five plays for this game. The ones we're locking in, I like the under 46, and I also like Isaiah Likely anytime touchdown at plus 180. Danny's going with Lamar Jackson over 60 and a half rush yards. It's at minus 105, and the Ravens money line minus 120. Danny, anything else you want to tell the people?
Yeah, catch me out in Columbus, Ohio with Caesars this Friday, this whole weekend. You know, NFL season's been on fire. Great last weekend. UFC huge event, Adesanya versus Pereira. So I'll have a lot of betting action coming up. I'm really excited for sports events to come. Let's get it.
Let's get it. All right, this has been Moxie Betts presented by Caesars Sportsbook. Don't forget to follow us on social at Moxie Betts. We'll see you Wednesday.